Shalom, and welcome to the Holy Scriptures and Israel, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. Here is Brother Gideon Levitan.
Well, shalom, and good morning, everyone. God bless you. Welcome to the Bible classes of the Holy Scriptures and Israel. We give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. How wonderful to be able to be under the sound of the word. We want to welcome you to our Bible classes of the Holy Scriptures in Israel. Hopefully you have your Bibles with you. We are going to today, with the help of the Lord, to look into the last verses here in Romans chapter 8. So if you have a Bible, open the scripture to Romans chapter 8, and I would like to read today from verse 31 to verse 39. These are the last verses that are found in Romans chapter 8. Let's ask the Lord to bless our meeting. Abba, Avinu Shebashamayim, Abba, our Father, bless us as we learn from your word today. We ask it for your glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. And so I'm reading, beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, from Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Here is the Apostle Paul. He is going to conclude his, the portion in the book of Romans that present before us the highest truths that we learn as believers in connection with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And he gives the Romans, and he gives you and I, and he gives all believers the assurance that there will never be any separation from those that belong to the Lord Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah. And so he says in verse 31, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ, Mashiach, that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Mashiach Yeshua Adonainu. And I will stop here with this verse 39 of Romans chapter 8. Beloved friends and dear brothers and sisters, you can read and reread and reread this passage again and again and again. And it gives us such an encouragement, because it doesn't matter what happened to anyone that belonged to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Whatever may happen, we learn from these final verses of Romans chapter 8 of the eternal security of the believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus the Messiah. There is no separation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you remember, this 8th chapter is filled with the freedom that believers in Jesus the Messiah, the teaching concerning the freedom that believers in the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah have because of him. Not because of us, but because of him. We have freedom from judgment. Verses 1 to 4. No condemnation. That's it, once and for all. When the Messiah Jesus died on a cross, on a Roman cross, and we have accepted his sacrificial sacrifice for us, we have no longer condemnation. Therefore, there is freedom from judgment. We have learned from verses 5 to 17, not only that there is freedom from judgment, but in verses 5 to 17 of Romans chapter 8, there is freedom from defeat. We don't have anymore, we are not obligated to live after the flesh. We are in the spirit, but sometimes as believers, because we are occupied with ourselves and with problems and we are influenced by the world, sometimes we are allowing ourselves to be walking after the flesh and not to walk in the spirit. And therefore, we are defeated many times, but we don't have any more obligation to be defeated anymore because we are freed from defeat if we will allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us. Then thirdly, we have already learned from these verse 18 to verse 30 that there is no longer a frustration. We don't need to be discouraged anymore, although sadly many times we are, but we don't need to be frustrated anymore because although the whole creation is groaning, although believers are groaning, but we also have the Holy Spirit of God that is groaning. And as we read already in verses 26 to 30, that the Holy Spirit of God making intercession for the people of God. Likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, this is Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit of God, he himself making intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And then that he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he is he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit of God is groaning as well, is making intercession for God's people. And therefore, we, beloved brothers and sisters, we don't need to be frustrated anymore. And also, we need not to be discouraged anymore, although we are many times, but to realize that the creation, the whole creation is groaning. We as believers are groaning, waiting for the day when this body of humiliation will be transformed and we will receive a glorified body, and therefore to realize, not to be discouraged in spite of the trials that you and I are going through and all believers are going through in their life. But now, not only that there is no condemnation and no obligation and no frustration, now in the last verses of Romans chapter 8, the apostle reminds the Romans of the value of the work that Yeshua HaMashiach, that Jesus the Messiah, a work have accomplished. Because of his work, there is no longer separation for those that are in Christ Jesus. In fact, this 8th chapter began with no condemnation, and it concludes with no separation. And if someone will tell you that you can lose your salvation, beloved brothers and sisters, make sure that you go back to the Word of God and you find out the truth of the Word of God, that there will never be a possibility for a child of God, a believer who truly belongs to the Lord, to be to lose his or her salvation because there is no separation. This is the doxology that the Apostle Shaul Paul is providing for the Romans at the end of Romans chapter 8. Now you notice this, verses 31 to 39, There are four questions that are mentioned here. You notice that, beloved brothers and sisters? Four questions. With the word who, notice that in verse 31, who can be against us? Secondly, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Thirdly, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? And fourthly, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Messiah, the love of Mashiach, the love of Christ? Four questions. And he will go through them to help the Roman believers to understand their eternal security, their eternal relationship with God because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so he began, you notice that, in verse 31. And he's saying, Paul is saying, what shall we say to these things? You see, he's going to the climax. He says, after what I have written to you in chapter 8, no condemnation, no obligation, no frustration. Now he says, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to all the information and all the provision that we receive from our Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah, from God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus the Messiah? He said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The apostle Paul is mentioning here to the Romans believers. You see, he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us. You know that God is for you? You know that God is for everyone that have trusted in him. In fact, God is for all humanity. God loves humanity. But those that have come to know him, we are now belong to him. And who can be against us successfully? Now, obviously, there are many people that are against God's people. Satan is against God's people. The demons are against God's people. The world and its system are against God's people. But the thought here, who can be against us successfully? No one will be successful against God's people. Why? Because it is God, as it says here, it is God who can be against us. And he began to give us a list of information why no one can be against God's people successfully. And he gave us the answers. Now, I just want to mention one or two things before we move on. You know, that every one of us know very well that there are many, many people in the world who would like to be against the believers and would like to take us away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Many that have, that maybe in your workplace or families that don't believe in Yeshua, in Jesus the Messiah, they think that you and I have done something wrong, have turned to someone who is really not the Messiah. We know it very well historically in the history of our people Israel. The first century Jewish believers have experienced much misunderstanding from their own brethren who did not recognize that Jesus is truly the promised Messiah, and therefore they were opposing them. And you and I may feel it today, some family members, they don't want to believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the gospel. They don't believe in the word of God. And therefore, they would like to pull you away from the things of the Lord. And Paul is saying to the Roman believers that if God be for us, who, and the who here apply to so many. It apply to whether it is mankind or whether it is Satan himself or whether it is the fallen angels or anyone that want to snatch God's people away from God's hands. You know what? You remember the verse in John chapter 10. If you turn with me to John 10, You remember this very important verse that Yeshua the Messiah, is when he spoke here to the disciples and to those that have followed him, speaking to them as sheep that belong to him. And he said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice." This is verse 27. "And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Notice that. "And they shall never perish." They shall never perish. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now notice that he continued. He said, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." Notice that. "Greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, the assurance of the salvation of those that belong to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is secure. The salvation is secure by virtue of the fact that this is the grace of God that was extended to those that come to trust in Yeshua and Jesus the Messiah. They shall never perish. They shall no one is able to pluck them out of my hand, Yeshua Jesus said, or out of my Father's hand. So it is so important to understand eternal security of the believer. Somebody might say, "But wait a minute. Maybe Satan will be able to pluck me out of God's hand." Well, the Apostle Paul will answer, not Satan, not his angels, not mankind, not any human man's system. No one will be able to pluck the people of God out of God's hand, because the provision of salvation is for everlasting eternity. You remember the verse, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." True faith in the person of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, provide eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. And that's what we have to understand as we are looking at the final verses here of Romans chapter 8. Now, you know that, just turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 42. You know who thought that thinks life is against him? Yaakov. You remember Yaakov when his sons took Joseph and sold him to the Egyptian? In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 36, we do read of how Jacob felt. He said in verse 36, "And Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not, and ye will take Benjamin now. Simon is not," he says to them, "also, and Joseph is not." And then he said at the end of verse 36, "All these things are against me." Well, while Joseph felt that everything is against him, we read in Romans chapter 8, "Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Look at Numbers, a verse in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 14, Israel felt that things are against Israel because of the journey, of the experience on the journey, many troubles, many challenges. And so we read in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8 and 9, we do read, it said in verse 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us." If God be with us, who can be against us? If God be for us, Who can be against us? So problems in life sometimes causes us to assume that things are against us. And yes, in the world, things are against us, but God is for the believer. In Psalm 27, beloved brothers and sisters, David himself felt that the Lord is for him. And although in his life, in his experience, everyone seemed to be against him, we read in Psalm 27, and I read verse 2 and 3. Psalm 27, verses 2 and 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. It says in verse 5 and 6, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Yaakov felt the things are against him. The nation of Israel felt the things are against them. David individually felt the things are against him. And you and I, many times as believers, feel the things and people are against us. But Shaul Paul is saying something very precious. He said in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He's asking the question, who can be against us? God is for us. Who can be against us? No one can successfully be against God's people successfully. No one successfully will be able to remove God's people from their eternal relationship with the Lord. And so notice now after we covered verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us successfully? No one. Not the world and its system, not the flesh in us, not Satan, the enemy of the believers, not the demonic activity, nor any system. No one will be able successfully to remove us from our relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, because his work on the cross, on the tree, his death, burial, and resurrection provided for us eternal redemption, eternal relationship with him. And so in verse 32, he began to list. First of all, God is for us, verse 31. Secondly, the Messiah died for us, Christ, the Mashiach. Christ come from the Greek Christos, taken from the Hebrew Mashiach. The Mashiach, the Messiah, Christ is the one that died for us. Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, beloved brothers and sisters, God did not spare his own son, but God delivered his own son for us all when God the Son took union human nature with his divine nature, and as a man, a sinless man, he went all the way to the shameful cross to become a sacrifice for us. That's why he could say in John 10, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one taketh my life away from me. I lay it down of myself that I may, and I may take it myself. He said, I'm able to lay it down of myself, and I'm able to take it up again. This commandment, if I received of my Father. God did not spare his own son, beloved brothers and sisters. When I think about that thought that we have here in verse 32, he that spare not his own son, God, who spared not his own son, he delivered him up for us all. He delivered his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, for us all. How shall he not, with him freely give us all things? If God provided for us salvation, do you think that he will give us half of salvation? Do you think that he will give us just salvation as long that we perfectly live our life here in this world? After all, our salvation did not depend upon our performance. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, died for sinners, not for perfect people. He died for sinners. He paid for the sin of this world. Now just turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 22. When we read of that verse, he that spared not his own son. You remember when God asked Abraham, our father, to offer up Yitzhak on the altar on Mount Moriah. And we do read in Genesis chapter 22, take now thy son, verse 2, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God asked Abraham to offer Yitzhak on as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, Mount Moriah. But God did not want Yitzhak. Abraham and Yitzhak, Isaac, became a wonderful picture of the love of the Father and the Son, God the Father and God the Son. And while Isaac was spared by God, yet God never spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Notice what we read in Genesis chapter 22, we read in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You can see of the father and the son, Ha'abba ve'haben, walking together to Mount Moriah. Abraham and Isaac became but a type, but a picture of God the Father and God the Son. And so notice what Isaac said to his father in verse 7. He said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice, or where is the burnt offering, the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God, listen to that, God will provide himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide himself. God himself in the person of the Son would come down to this world and offer himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. And surely, beloved brothers and sisters, we read that when Abraham bound Isaac, his son, to the altar, and Abraham, verse 10, stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. Then the angel of the Lord said to him, Abraham, Abraham, verse 11. And he said, here am I, hineni. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Don't slay him. I wanted to see if your heart will be in love with me to obey me, even in offering your son on the altar. But it's not your son Isaac that I want. And then we read Abraham in verse 13. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by the horn. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, there was a lamb that was killed instead of Yitzhak, of the son of Abraham. Abraham's son was spared. But go back to Romans chapter 8. And in this verse 32, we do read, "He that spared not his own son." How wonderful to realize that. God did not spare his own son and deliver him up for us all. He delivered him. God the Father sent the Son to become the Savior of the world. You see what a wonderful thing. So when sometime because of trials and difficulties and things are going to be against us here in this world, one might say, well, then because things are against me, therefore my salvation is lost and I'm not quite keeping my salvation and God really doesn't care. But here we learn, beloved brothers and sisters, that God did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not, with him, with offering of his son, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of this world, by offering him, he will freely give us all things. And that include eternal salvation, to be in eternity with him in glory. We will never need to be separated from God. Although many times we may feel like as if we are not quite there. We are not quite as faithful as we ought to be. We are not quite obedient as we should be. And indeed we should live for the Lord. And when we stumble and we fall, and yet, God assures us that our salvation is eternal. Yes, when we fall and stumble, we need to go to the throne of grace to repent of it and to turn to the Lord and to seek a healthy spiritual relationship with the Lord without any clouds in between. But when it's come to our positional relationship with the Lord, our eternal salvation is secure because of what God had done for us through the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So the work of Christ, the work of the Messiah, is for all those that come to know him. The work of the Messiah actually is for all, but not everyone benefit from that because one must come to believe and accept the Lord Jesus. So we read in verse 32, "He that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, died for all. But, beloved brothers and sisters, only those that come to trust in him will benefit from the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? God is the one that spared not his own son. Yes, he will come one day in judgment upon those that rejected the Messiah. But for those that have accepted him, they are eternally belong to him. So, God is for us, verse 31. Who can be against us, verse 31? Secondly, verse 32, the Messiah, Christ, died for us. And therefore, God, because God did not spare him and he judged him for our sins, the work of Christ once and for all finished for us, satisfied God and provided for us eternal salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, we read, "To wit, that God was in Christ, in the Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. These are them that believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. In Romans chapter 5, just go back to verse, Romans 5 and verse 6. It does say in verse 6, beloved brothers and sisters, it says here, "For when we were without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Notice what he said in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we were enemies, when we were without strength, when we were sinners, the Messiah died for us. So God had provided for us the person of his Son. He spared not his own Son. Remember this, beloved brothers and sisters. God did not spare his only Son. Now notice we are moving along to verse 34. As we are continuing in verse 33, God not only is for us, verse 31, God is did not spare his own Son. The Messiah had to die for us. But in verse 33, God has justified us. Who shall charge us? Because God declares just. It says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, someone might come and he will say, well, I found some faults in you. You did this, you did that, you said this, you said that. Yes. But for these sins, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, died. And therefore, the sacrifice of Christ, once and for all, dealt with all the sins that we have committed in the past, in the present, and in the future. His work satisfied God and dealt with the sin, the singular, the root problem, as well as that which come out of the root. And so we read in verse 33, who shall charge us? Do you know that every day Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is there every day before God, is accusing God's people? You remember in Job's days, in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, Satan there appeared before God accusing Job. Says, you are protecting him. That's why he is doing what he is doing. And God allowed him to cause Job some, to allow him to touch Job, but he couldn't touch his eternal relationship with God. You remember with respect to Israel in the days of, we read in the prophet Zechariah, how Joshua was in the presence of God in a vision that Zechariah had seen representing Israel. And Satan was accusing Zechariah and Joshua, the high priest, and the people of Israel. In fact, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren who will be cast down from the realm, from the heavenly realm to earth, in the middle of the tribulation, and he will persecute the people of Israel during the tribulation period. He's the accuser of the brethren, whether it is Israel or whether it is the church. Always accusing God's people. So look what we read here. Verse 33, God justified the believer. Who shall lay any charge to God the elect? Well, Satan is seeking to lay charges. Here she did that. Here he did that. Here they are wrong here. Here they have done this against you, God. Here they have sinned. But all his accusation will never successfully will change what happened to the believer when he or she have accepted the person of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And so we read, it is God that justifieth. God is the one that justifies. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, he declared you and I just. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 verse 23 and verse 24. We do read in verse 23 these words, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then verse 24, being justified freely. Being justified freely. Sinners have been justified freely. How? by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah Yeshua. My dear brothers and sisters, we have been declared just by God, justified by God freely. We didn't pay for our sins. We didn't earn our salvation. We didn't work to accomplish salvation. We didn't do anything. In fact, the only thing that we have brought to the table is our sin and sins. We didn't improve ourselves in order to receive our justification. It's all the grace of God. Being justified freely by his grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Freely. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. There we read, beloved brothers and sisters, listen to this. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God have chosen us in Christ in the Messiah before the foundation of the world. Listen to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It is all of the grace of God. Not only that God is for us, not only that the Messiah died for us, but God has justified us, declared us just. Amazing. Eternal security. Eternal salvation. No man, no one is able to pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I'll give unto them eternal life, not a life that is temporary, but eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10. They shall never perish. And although sometimes we feel things are against us, people are against us, this world and its system is against the believer, Satan is definitely against God and against God's people, yet God is for us. Who can be against us? Now notice this. Now in verse 34, not only that God is for us, verse 31, not only that the Messiah died for us, verse 32, not only that God has justified us, verse 33, but in verse 34, the Messiah is interceding, Christ, the Mashiach, is interceding for us. And no one is able to condemn us, even though they charge us, but they cannot condemn the believer. And so we read in verse 34, and I'm reading this verse, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather that is risen again, who is making intercession for us. In other words, beloved brothers and sisters, the same Jesus, the Messiah who died for us, he also is the one that was resurrected and ascended to heaven. And he is at God's right hand. He fulfilled what we read in Psalm 16, thou shalt not leave thine holy one to see corruption. Psalm 16:10. He fulfilled Psalm 110, where we read that the Lord said unto my Lord, David said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You know, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, did not only die for us and was buried, but he was resurrected for our justification. And we have a high priest right now who is making intercession for you and I, for the believers. Again, go back to Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, we read at the end of the chapter, Romans 4 and verse 25, where Paul wrote earlier, it says, who was delivered for our offenses? Every sin that you and I have committed, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was delivered for these offenses and these sins. But then the second half of this verse, it says, but he was raised for our justification. When the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was resurrected from among the dead, God is really saying, I am satisfied with his work. And therefore, he is now been resurrected and ascended, and he is seated at God's right hand. He died, he was buried, and he rose, and he's at God's right hand, but he's also making intercession. You see that, beloved brothers and sisters? We have here the ministry of the Lord Jesus today in glory. He is making intercession on your behalf and on mine. It's so wonderful. When we stumble and we fall and we sin, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, lifting up his holy hands there in the presence of God and saying, for these sins, I have died. He doesn't condone these sins, but he died for them. He is making intercession for us. Notice this, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, there we read in Luke chapter 22 how Jesus the Messiah was praying for Shimon, Petros. We read in Luke 22 in verse 31 these words. It says, so likewise, notice that, Luke 22 and verse 31, and I'm reading. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Shimon, Shimon, behold, Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, or established, he says, strengthen thy brethren. I prayed for you. I'm interceding for you. The Lord Jesus said to Simon before he even finished the work of redemption. One more verse, please. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Listen to what we read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14. 15 and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Yeshua ben HaElohim, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. There we read, listen to this, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, has unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save, to continually save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him, seeing he is ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord Yeshua the Messiah is at God's right hand, he making intercession for us. How wonderful it is, beloved brothers and sisters, to read these amazing passages here in Romans 8, verse 31, verse 32, verse 33, and verse 34. Let me remind you about these 4 points that we mention in these four verses. Verse 31, God is for us. Who can be against us? Verse 32, Christ, the Mashiach, died for us. God did not spare his own son, but deliver him for us all. Verse 33, God have justified us. Who can charge you or me for anything? Who can charge us? And then fourthly, in verse 34, the Messiah, Christ, intercedes for us. Who shall condemn us? Somebody can come and condemn us and say, here he failed, she failed, he sinned, she sinned. Well, what we did read, that God is the one that justified us, and that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, right now, he is at God's right hand, and he's making intercession for us. How wonderful to be a child of God, beloved brothers and sisters. So now, as we are going to just conclude with the final verses of Romans chapter 8, we can see the thought that we have here at the end before us, beloved brothers and sisters. It's like a doxology. It's like Paul can, you might say, he's overwhelmed with what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, has done. And he wants so much to convey this to his brothers and sisters at Rome and to you and I today. And so notice he's emphasizing not only of God's, that God is for us, and that Christ, the Messiah, died for us, and that God have justified us, and that the Messiah is interceding for us. In these final verses, 35 to 39, Paul is emphasizing the love that the Lord Jesus had towards you and I. You know, I love the verses, the four verses in the Bible that speak about the love of God. In relationship to the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In relationship to the assembly, to the ecclesia, Ephesians 5:25, husband love your wife as the Messiah, as Christ loved the assembly, the church, gave himself for her. In relationship to Israel, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And in relationship to every one of us individually, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And here in that doxology, the Apostle Paul in verse 35 to 39 remind us of the love of our Lord Jesus the Messiah. And he's saying, who, notice that he used that word, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of the Messiah? Who can separate us from his love? And you and I might look at this list of things that happen to us usually in life. And in these verses, verse 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39, we can learn of the love of the Lord Jesus, that nothing will be able to separate God's children from the love of the Messiah, the love of Christ. And notice that God do not take away from us difficulties here in life. He left us here. Jesus the Messiah said, in this world you shall have tribulation, John chapter 16, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so notice he said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Do you have some trouble in your life? You think the tribulation will separate you from the love of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah? Shall distress, are you distressed? At time we are distressed. Shall, or persecution, are you feeling some people are, believers are persecuted today? Or famine, there are much hunger that is going on in many lands, in many countries, and believers are there as well. or nakedness. Some people cannot even provide for themselves clothing. Or you continue, or peril, this is a danger in life. Or sword, even all these natural sources that come into our life that bring all kind of challenges into our life, tribulation, distress, persecution, famines, nakedness, peril, or sword. These are all natural sources that people experience, and the believers experience the same. Those situations will never be able to separate us from the love of the Lord. You know, the Lord loved us, and He still loves us even when we go through some tribulation at times. His love is unchangeable, beloved brothers and sisters. But not only natural sources that come into our life that happen here in this world, but notice even much more. He continues and he speaks about the supernatural sources that might come against God's people. And that you and I might feel, the believers might feel as if we are somehow being separated from God, and He is assuring us that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. No natural sources or even supernatural sources. He said in verse 36, before he's going to the supernatural sources, he's quoting the psalmist of Israel. Because in Israel's history, many, many times Israel, the Jewish people, have experienced persecution, tribulation, distresses, a famine, nakedness, peril, swords, and on in Israel's history. Just read the Hebrew scriptures and you will see the experiences that the Jewish people have gone throughout the ages. And so now he's speaking to the Roman believers and to you and I. He says, as it is written in the Hebrew scripture. For thy sake we are killed all the day long, verse 36. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You see, it is so interesting that God's people at time are being treated in such an evil way here in this world, as sheep to the slaughter. And Paul continue here in verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In other words, here we have again, Him that loved us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of the Messiah? It is He who loved us. And although we are experiencing trouble and difficulties here in this world, it never changes the love of God toward His own people. In fact, all these things that the believers are experiencing, it only makes them stronger to be able to conquer and to continue on. But it only can be done through the one that loves us. And this is our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so now notice what he continues, and I'm going to close with this as we are concluding here with this wonderful 8th chapter. In verse 38 and 39, nothing will separate us from the love of God, because this love is set in the person and in the work of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is above all. And so we read, for I am persuaded, Paul is saying. And notice now the supernatural sources that may cause us to feel as if God loves us less or doesn't love us as much. Here we learn, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature, not even the devil himself, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, the eternal security. The eternal security of the believer that we receive because of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah's work for us. When he finished the work of redemption, everyone that belonged to him is eternally belongs to him. And notice, I'm just going to conclude these verses one more time. For I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, Paul is saying, I'm assured, he's saying, that neither death nor life. When we die, we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. Nor life, when there are trials in this world, the situation and circumstances of life will never separate us from the love of God, from the love of the Lord Jesus. Notice he says, no angels, not the good angels who are ministering spirit, nor principalities, nor the bad angels, the demons, nor powers, nor, notice that, principalities, nor powers. You remember this that we read in Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly. No demons will be able to separate us from the love of God. No things present, nor things to come. Whatever trial you and I may go today, these present circumstances that are not easy to bear, but it will not separate us from the love of God. God's love is unchangeable. God's love towards you and I is eternal. God's love was proven when he sent the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, to die for our sin and sins. God's love is eternal. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son, the children of God, sons and daughters of the Father. No things present, no things to come. Notice, verse 39, that's the last verse. No height, no depth, no any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in. Notice that. It is the love of God is set in the person of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Absolute security, absolute eternal security, we can see here in Romans chapter 8. And I would like to close with these encouraging words, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends. First of all, if you are not a believer, may the Lord help you to realize the love of God. He sent his only begotten Son. He sent the darling of his bosom to this world. And Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, willingly laid down his life for you and for me. Amazing, amazing grace. The Messiah of Israel, the Savior of this world. And if you are a believer, and you and I as believers are experiencing trials and challenges in our life, and when we're discouraged and disappointed sometimes, never forget that God's love to us never changes. We need to remind each other of this, because sometimes we can forget because we are at times discouraged. But remember that the love of God is eternal, through the person and the work of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. May God bless you, my dear friend. Well, with this, we concluded Romans chapter 8. God bless you. Until the next time, we say shalom, shalom. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this teaching from Holy Scriptures and Israel. Our ministry is dedicated to sharing the good news of the Messiah Yeshua with the Jewish people and instructing Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. Holy Scriptures and Israel is listener-supported. If you have been blessed by this study, please consider partnering with us through your prayers and financial support. For more teachings or to give, please visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. That's holyscripturesandisrael.com. Until next time, Shalom.